Imperial Leader. The story of our great democratic statesman, Winston Churchill. The story of a man whose life has been full of adventure and drama. The year is 1895. Winston Churchill, now a subaltern in the 4th Hussars, finds life in the barracks rather dull. Adventure is the cry, the adventure always in his blood. He talks the matter over with a fellow subaltern, Reginald Barnes.
I say, Barnes.
Yes, Churchill?
We've been playing at war long enough. How'd you like a taste of the real thing?
I wish you meant it, old man. I'm afraid I can see nothing but long years of peace ahead.
Well, for England, yes, I agree with you. But there is a war going on at the moment, you know.
Really? Where?
Cuba.
Oh, that native revolt. Oh, it'll never come to anything, I'm afraid.
No? Well, listen to what the Times says. The long-drawn guerrilla between the Spaniards and the Cuban rebels is now entering upon its most serious phase. Marshal Martinex Campos, Captain General of Spain, has been sent to the recalcitrant island.
Ha ha, recalcitrant, old boy.
Well, it's not spelled that way. And 80,000 Spanish reinforcements are being rapidly shipped across the ocean in a supreme attempt to quell the revolt.
80,000 men? Phew, that certainly does sound like war.
Especially when one considers that we had less than 50,000 at Waterloo. Barnes, I'm going to Cuba.
How?
Never mind how. Are you coming with me?
Just try and stop me.
Good man. Come along, then.
Come along where? We're not leaving for Cuba yet, are we?
Of course not, Churras. But it might be as well to get the permission of Colonel Brabazon. Once we've done that, the rest should be easy.
Well, gentlemen, may I ask why you've interrupted me at this crucial moment?
Sorry, sir, but the fact is that Barnes and I want to go to Cuba.
Am I dreaming? Or did you really say Cuba, Mr. Churchill?
Yes, sir. There's a war on there, you know.
Between the Spaniards and the Cubans, sir.
Yes. I've read about it. But why should it concern you?
Well, sir, Barnes thought...
We both thought?
That it'd be a good chance to get some professional experience at a seat of war, sir.
That's true. It would. But even if I gave you permission, probably the Spanish military authorities would refuse.
Well, I've thought of that, sir, and I've written to Sir Henry Wolfe, our ambassador at Madrid, who is a great friend of my father, sir, and he'll be able to fix things for us.
You young scoundrel, Churchill. You actually wrote to the ambassador before you came to me. I've a good mind to refuse your request.
I'm sorry, sir. It was just misplaced zeal.
Well, don't try that midshipman easy twaddle on me. Anyway, if I let you go, how do I know you'll be able to look after yourselves properly? You'll probably disgrace the regiment.
I hope not, sir. Isn't it true that God tempers the winds to the shorn lamb?
Where'd you get that from?
Bible, isn't it, sir?
No, it isn't. It's from Sterne's Sentimental Journey. I advise you to read it, Mr. Churchill, on your way to Havana.
Havana? Oh, thank you, sir.
We're very grateful, sir.
Oh, that's all right. Look after yourselves and come back safe. Good luck to you both, you rascals.
I suppose you know best, Winston. I couldn't bear another loss.
So it's just a lark, Mother? I'll just be an observer. I'm forbidden to fight except in self-defense.
But there'll be all sorts of dangers. Stray bullets, explosions, illness. I believe the fever is very deadly there.
Well, I might have a hunting accident here, Mother, or an attack of typhoid. Death, when he chooses his moment, is not particular as to localities.
All right. Forgive me, dear. I know I'm foolish. And besides, I must get used to your being a soldier.
Oh, there won't be much soldiering for me. England's so peaceful a nation that I have to travel miles across the ocean to get some practical war experience.
Thank God England is what she is.
Why, Mother, you sounded then almost as if you were an Englishwoman.
I'm an American, which is much the same thing. I think every American feels the same way, that he owes a second allegiance. I'm certain that if ever England were in danger, the people over the water would help.
I suppose I should have a second allegiance too, seeing that I'm half American. But of course, if the United States went to war, I'd catch the first boat for New York and stay there, instead of transshipping to Havana.
What time do you leave?
We sail at noon tomorrow. I'm meeting Barnes at 10.
Winston, I don't think I'll see you off. Partings are so embarrassing, aren't they?
Yes, they are, rather.
I suppose you'd like to go to bed early.
Well, I...
Good night, my dear.
Good night, Mother, and don't worry.
No, of course not. I'll never really be very worried about you, Winston. You're the darling of fortune. I'm sure of that.
By Jove, before I go, Mother, I have an idea which ought to ensure one thing at least. That whilst I'm away, I won't be forgotten. I'm going to give a dinner party, a different kind of dinner party. One that'll make London think, and this is what's going to happen.
So, gentlemen, it's given me very great pleasure to entertain you tonight. We are an unusual gathering. We are a representative gathering. but not representative of yesterday nor today. No, this dinner party, as you know, is for those who are yet under 21 years of age, but who in 20 years' time will control the destinies of the British Empire.
How do you do? Welcome to Cuba. My name is O'Donnell, lieutenant attached to this staff. And you, of course, are the two English officers.
Yes, I'm Churchill, and this is Barnes. How do you do?
You're an Irishman, Mr. O'Donnell.
Oh, no, Spanish. You are surprised? But it is really quite simple, really. You see, an ancestor of mine came to Spain with the Irish Brigade. He liked us so much that he stayed, and he raised the family. I'm one of the consequences. Juan Blasco O'Donnell.
You speak English extremely well.
Oh, thank you. I've always admired the English, though I do think they're a little mad. You will forgive my candor.
Yes, of course.
To travel all this way, for instance, just to see some fighting. Well, I think to you, gentlemen, what is one to think?
Oh, you may be right, O'Donnell. But you see, in our own country, there's too much peace. We wanted excitement, and it's up to you to supply it.
If you wish to see fighting, you should join the Mobile Column. But if you did not come earlier. Such a column left Santa Clara only this morning for Sancti Spiritis, a town about 40 miles away, which is besieged by the rebels.
Well, if it left early this morning, we can easily overtake it.
Oh, no. You would not get 5 miles. The enemy are everywhere and nowhere. 50 horsemen can go where they please, and two, well, they cannot go anywhere.
Then how can we join the column?
I will contact you myself. First, we go by train to Cienfuegos, and then by sea to Tuna. A railway line runs from Tuna to Sancti Spiritis. And so far, the military trains have not failed to get through.
But how far is the journey altogether?
Oh, about 150 miles.
We travel 150 miles to reach a place 40 miles distant.
Why not? There is no hurry, surely.
No, I suppose not. And I don't want the war to finish before I see some fighting.
No, my dear fellow, what an idea. The war will go on and on and on until the rebels give in. There will be no great battles. In fact, I doubt if you will ever see the enemy.
Gosh, what a sell. Do you hear that, Churchill?
Yes, I heard. It seems we might just as well have stayed in England.
Oh, console yourself, gentlemen. Even though you may never see the enemy, it is highly probable that you will die by one of his bullets. It is a compensation, yes?
Well, that's a good name for it. Compensation.
Here's to a quick death, anyhow. And what do we do now, Barnes?
Yes, do I know. Maybe the commander smells trouble.
Well, it won't be much of a battle anyway. I can't see anything but dense bushes. How many men did you say we had?
About 1,700. I say, this is a funny kind of war, isn't it?
There's no war about it. My God, I'm glad to have seen Cuba. What a dream of a place. No wonder they call it the Pearl of the Antilles.
And no wonder the Spaniards don't want to lose their pearl to the rebels. Oh, well, what's the commander doing?
Seems to be waiting for something to happen. Perhaps his scouts are out foxing the enemy. You think we'll see a fight?
Shouldn't think so. The whole thing's a washout.
Just what I was thinking.
What did he say?
Well, we're moving on again, I think. Go on, Pedro, move on, old boy.
After all, we do want our breakfast, don't we?
A half a skinny chicken and you, Barnes, beside me in the Cuban wilderness, and that's...
what they call breakfast on active service. Only there isn't any active service, and the breakfast is filthy anyhow.
I have a certain feeling that something might happen at any moment. I say, look at that 20 stone of officer next to me. What a colossal size.
Yes, he's good protection anyhow. A fat officer on one side, a horse on the other. Even if something does start, we're in practically a fortified position.
Oh, I never mind fat men about me. In fact, there's something very cheerful about a fat man. Now that my heart and head are thoroughly protected by our friend's colossal stomach. It's starting. Keep down.
It's getting warm. Action at last. Something's happening.
I think I'll sing the optimist song. Anything can happen as long as it doesn't happen to me. Funny thing, this is the first time in my life I have seen and heard shooting, which means sudden death.
You'll be seeing a lot more of it.
I wonder.
I say, look! The horses!
Heavens! My horse! Quick, Barnes!
Oh, dead all right. Phew! Lucky escape for you, Churchill. Another few inches to the right and the bullet would have missed the horse and got you.
Poor creature. He's out of misery anyway. Well, what do we do now?
Just stay where we are, as close to the ground as possible until it's all over.
Yes. They'll have to fight their own battle. Most interesting experience, but rather disturbing. We can now say that we've been under firebombs.
So go back as rip-roaring adventurers.
By the way, it's my 21st birthday today.
Go on. Many happy returns.
Thanks. Many happy returns to the old country.
I say, Churchill.
Yes?
Are you enjoying this very much?
What?
Cuba, the war, everything?
Not very much, are you?
I suppose we couldn't...
Couldn't what?
Oh, you know.
Well, I don't see why we shouldn't.
But what can we say to the Spaniards?
That we've observed all we can observe and now must return to England to make a report on it.
Do you think they'll believe that?
Well, it's perfectly true. For weeks now we've been riding through the woods after an enemy that we've never seen and we're never likely to see. Every few minutes they start firing at us and we have to get under cover till it's all over. And after that we pursue the trail again. And so on ad infinitum.
Well, at any rate we've been under fire. That's more than most of them at home can say.
Yes, but it's not my idea of war. I think we'll start packing.
England,
home and beauty. We've finished another chapter in life, Franz. That's what's happened. We've travelled to Cuba, seen a bit of small-time fighting and got out of it with whole skins. Just the end of one adventure.
And what do you want to do back in England?
Do? Why, look for my next adventure, of course.
Another adventure ends for Winston Churchill, and another is about to begin. For the heir of Marlborough is on the threshold of stirring events. Events in which he will play an increasingly vital part until the day he reaches the peak of his ambitions to become Imperial Leader.